This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
You're listening to the Laugh Button Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
We are back, and it is officially 2017 AD.
Matt Kleinschmidt,
did you miss me?
I mean, it was a week, you know.
Actually, I took an extra week off. It was
two weeks.
The 1 week I took off, I felt like I talked to you enough. Though, like, we had a conference call, we talked on. We texted. So
We did some stuff. Things had to happen.
Exactly.
I pseudo missed you, man. Of course. Why not?
I don't know. I didn't miss you, buddy. Oh!
Oh, that's fine. No one does. Yeah. No one does. And why would you until I'm gone?
So how are your holidays? What'd you do?
They were good, man. I stayed local. I stayed in New York City. I did not travel. And a bunch of movies, bunch of sleeping in. And got some great gifts from the lady. And it was fun, man. It was really cool. We had decent weather. And, you know, it was good, man. What about you?
My lady got a Roomba.
You bought her a Roomba?
I did not buy her a Roomba.
Santa got her a Roomba.
Santa got her a Roomba, and by Santa, I mean my mother.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was a funny story, because, like, she was like, I wonder if, like, because we have, like, you know, we have dogs.
Do you have carpeting or hardwood floors?
Mostly hardwood in my house.
Okay, cool.
So it's easier to clean up than a carpet. But we have dogs, two dogs, and there's dog hair, and the new dog has white fur, so, like, I literally, like, have
you're just constantly
white hair. I'm like, jeez. So she was like, So she's like, oh, I wonder if we could get, like, a Roomba just kind of, like, to tidy up in between, like, you know, my major cleanings and stuff like that. And I was like, a Roomba seems awfully expensive to do that. So, like, it was just one of those things she kind of joked about, like, because, like, who knows if a Roomba really works or anything like that.
I heard good things.
They're not that bad after using it, I got to say.
Programmed to, like, memorize the...
You can schedule them to go off at certain times, and they go back and they redock themselves, and, like, the bigger models have apps and all that kind of stuff. But, like, she was just like, yeah, so I figured out what we're going to do for Christmas. I'm going to buy you a Roomba, and you're going to buy me a Roomba, alluding to we each go half and half on a Roomba.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I don't want a Roomba. I have no desire for a Roomba. But, like, literally as this conversation was unfolding, my mom had texted me and said, hey, what do you want for Christmas, or what do you need for Christmas? I said, apparently I want a Roomba. And that's apparently
and
how
And there it is.
And next thing I know, I have a goddamn Roomba. Cause,
so does it? Are your dogs getting along with this Roomba? Because I know it's a pretty festive thing for animals.
It's not as loud as an actual vacuum cleaner, so they're not scared of it. But, like, they are very, very curious. And I have one dog that likes to bark at everything. Like, I used to wheel out the lawnmower, not even turn it on yet, and he'd go apeshit. Like,
yeah. So. Now are you going to dress it up like the little sweepy droid from Star Wars?
No, or it's not going to be a DJ room, but like Parks and Recreation either. But it was named Monica.
Okay. That's a name. Monica with a K?
Monica, as in Monica Geller from Friends, who was a very anal retentive, tidy woman.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife decided to name her Monica after Monica Geller from Friends.
Wow.
I don't know, dude.
Not know Monica's last name on the show.
We all got, Ross Geller, her brother, and their brothers.
I don't
Monica
know any
Ross
of their
Geller.
Last names.
Phoebe?
If I hear Phoebe, I go Phoebe Cates.
I thought Phoebe first. Cates, too, yeah. Or Phoebe Snow.
Yeah.
But I don't know hers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I only know, and Joey Tribbiani. He had a crazy Italian name.
Tribbiani, okay.
Tribbiani, and Ross Geller, and who was the other one? Matthew Perry.
Joey
Matthew
Tribbiani.
Perry.
Yeah,
what was his character's name? Jeez, I don't even remember. There's Phoebe, Joey, Monica, Ross.
I love anybody.
Rachel.
Anyone who's listening to this podcast is like freaking out right now.
Oh, yeah, you know? We're totally getting screamed at through this. Like, how do you not know his name was blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God, what was his name?
I don't know. Matthew Perry's name was...
Ross...
know.
No, I'm just recounting. Oh. Ross, Rachel, Monica, Joey, Phoebe, and...
Slappy.
We got to look it up. It's going to bother me.
I know. It's
driving me. It's killing me.
So, yeah. So,
anyway, holidays were good. You got a Roomba. Cool. Very cool.
Got a Roomba. Went to D.C. for
Yeah, I saw that. You were down traveling.
You don't think there's something really cool? The Smithsonian Museum, the National Museum, the big museum down there, they decorate. They decorate all their trees and lights. They have all these different areas. And, you know, NBC will sponsor this section, and the power grid company will sponsor that section and all that kind of stuff. So literally, and it's at night, and it's open to the public. So you're walking through it, and literally, everything's covered in
lights.
Oh,
it's very cool.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And a bunch of kids were there because, you know, it's a fun place to take your kids.
Wish I would have known you were going to D.C., man. I just became friends with this guy from NASA when I did the Hidden Figures junket.
Okay.
And next time I go to D.C., I'm going to go check it out. Go check out some NASA stuff.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. I can go with you again.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
There's no, like...
Let's present a show down in D.C., man. D.C. Improv. Well,
okay,
I got a place to stay.
So I got the names from. You want to go first name, last name of the cast of Friends?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we got Rachel.
Yep.
Jennifer Aniston.
No idea what any of their last names are.
Green, as in Rachel Green.
Rachel Green. Okay.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Monica Geller. We already discussed this. Yeah. Matt LeBlanc. Joey Tribbiani.
Yeah. Nailed it.
David Schwimmer. Was
Ross Geller. Right?
Ross Geller. Lisa Kudrow. Phoebe Buffay.
That's
Buffay.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Matthew Perry.
Yeah, I hate when you know it and I don't. Like, I'm looking at your face because you're.
I know it.
Because you're relieved right now.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, I'm so relieved. What is it?
Chandler,
of course.
Chandler Bing. God Chandler damn. Bing. That show was on the air for like 10 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this. I never watched that show in real time when it was out.
Really?
But I started catching reruns. My wife's a fan, and I really got into it, and then it was on Netflix, and we just plowed through it, man. It was a fun show.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell when it jumps the shark. And
oh,
you could,
dude, like,
but there were some really great moments.
Every sitcom kind of loses steam around, like, season, like, 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either, like, major players leave.
Tell that to Red Dwarf.
Executive producers
8 seasons
leave
strong now,
leave.
And then came back years later for 2
man.
More seasons.
I don't know, like, you know. Like,
yeah.
Like, sure. How I Met Your Mother. Loved that show until that season 6.
Yeah.
Modern Family, great show, and then but the producing duo of Levitan and Lloyd,
yep, they Christopher Lloyd,
not the Christopher Lloyd, but his name is Christopher Lloyd, Steve Levitan, great, very cutting edge sitcom until like season 4 or 5 where you're just like, it's kind of going like, where's it going? And Christopher Lloyd actually left, I did not know that, so it was only Levitan only, but those guys had a very tumultuous relationship from what I understand, to the point where. 1 week Levitan would run the show, and the next week Lloyd would, and they'd swap off. They actually wouldn't be together at the same time.
Interesting.
And I think eventually one of them just kind of bowed out and left. But
it's crazy how big the kids have all gotten, man.
I mean, watching
an episode now, I was like, whoa! I didn't even like. Were they even a baby on the show? And then like, it's nuts. Yeah.
I know. Like, they're all like growing. They're all like in high school, and some have graduated, and some are in college, and it's nuts.
Well, Matt, we've got to inform everyone who's on the podcast this week. It's Sarah Colonna from Chelsea Lately. You might know her best from. She has 2 best-selling books. They're fantastic.
From Red Dwarf?
Definitely not from Red Dwarf.
She was from How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Friends?
No.
She dated Chandler on Friends.
She did not, but she did marry the punter from the Seattle Seahawks.
I knew that. I didn't know that. I totally guessed.
Well, you guessed right. She's got a great story about how they met, which she tells us in the interview.
Minnesota Vikings,
really cool.
Like Chris Cluey from Minnesota Vikings. That was his name, right? He was like the guy that like played Warcraft all the time and wrote the open letter to the guy from the Baltimore Ravens about his homophobia. Yeah, yeah. I remember that guy. Dude, I know sports.
Anyway,
I know fucking sports.
Sarah's awesome. I hadn't seen her in a hot minute. It'd been several years, so it was good to have her back. And we have a great conversation. Very funny. She tells some great stories about the writer's room.
Yeah.
You know, at Chelsea Lately.
I can only imagine what the writer's room at Chelsea Lately was.
Well, she's going to tell you all about it, man.
I know. That's why I'm looking forward to this interview.
So here it comes. Here it is. Sarah Colonna, everyone. All right, super excited for this interview, meeting up once again with Sarah Colonna. It's been too long. It feels like centuries, but as you reminded me, it's been like weeks.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. 4 years, I think. Four years.
I don't know what age it is, but when you hit that age and things are just a blur and you can't remember.
I hit that a long time ago.
Oh,
I think
no,
it's
no.
Like 25.
my grandma's like 90, so I consider her like old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I know what you mean. 25 is a good... That's a good year because, like, I remember my immune system shutting down. I would get fatter quicker, you know, but just in time to rent that car to shuttle myself around.
Yeah,
I guess,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're just in time to be on your own to figure it out.
But since then, congratulations. You've been married. You got married.
Yeah, I got married just a few months ago.
I love this. And I got to give you huge props because, you know, most people like to go for, you know, the guitar player, the lead singer. But you're like, fuck that. I want the drummer. And by drummer, I mean punter. And that is that's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah.
What a cool. So how did this all, if I could ask, you know, how did this all kind of go down? Because it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. When I was like, when I met you, I was probably still working on Chelsea Lately. Yeah, for sure. And he used to watch the show.
It's so great.
And he claims that he just like knew, which is, you know, I had a hard time believing that until I actually met him. And then he's just not full of shit. So I was like, oh, you're actually like the best, you know?
Sure.
But he plays for the Seahawks. Right. And so he was,
we can call him Mr. Ryan,
Mr. John Ryan.
Yep.
And, it was the national championship game a couple years ago that Ross Matthews was there, who was also on the Chelsea show. And John recognized him and walked up to him and he said, "Will you put in a good word with Sarah Colonna for me?"
Yes, I love this guy.
I know.
And I love this guy.
Ross said, "Win, and then I will." And then they won. And they manifested it over Twitter, and we ended up started talking. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Fuck dating sites, man.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm just going to go for it. And I didn't, you know, when I got this like, you know, random tweet from this football player who I'd actually was following already because he had just something he had messed, you know,
like
tweeted or something.
With the show or something.
Yeah. He had something before that I hadn't, but I hadn't really like paid attention. I didn't follow football. Specifically.
No,
the
you're
Seahawks.
A baseball girl. So
huge baseball girl. Yeah. And like football, I mean, I always liked it, but I just didn't have a team, you know?
Right.
I grew up in Arkansas. We didn't have a team. And then I live in Los Angeles. They just now got a team.
Yeah. They just finally now got a team.
So I just thought like, oh, this is silly. This is some athlete trying to be gross on Twitter, you know? But I was like,
you
I
hear
cute,
the tales.
You know?
You hear
yeah,
the tales.
Exactly. I was like, I'll flirt with him for a second, whatever. And then once we started talking more, I realized he's got a great sense of humor. He's awesome, you know? And then we finally met in person actually like a month later and went out. Yeah.
That's so cool. What a great story. Yeah. Oh, I love that he just had the ball. He was like, that's it. That's the story I'm going for. I'm making it happen.
I know.
Mission complete.
I'm like, you kind of stalked
delivered.
Me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess that term could be used loosely.
Yeah.
But hey, look, if he was a fan of the show and you were just on the show all the time, you know, you can't really count it as stalking.
No, that's
think,
true.
You know?
Yeah.
To defend him. I want to defend him. You did a good job.
Right.
And I got to say, he's like, is he the only, I feel like he's the only punter that ever threw a touchdown pass in the playoffs.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a good little.
I love those little nooks and cranny stats.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. It's a cool one.
All about directional punting. And I was a big field goal kicker guy. So like I was always huge into whoever the field goal kicker and the punters were. Because they were just the dudes that were either soccer players, which I played my whole life.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you can't make any money playing soccer. So I'm going to go kick this ball into this, you know, thing and just make millions. So that's. Yeah,
Hauschka, who was their kicker, mm-hmm. He was a soccer player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, so they've got to be like super tight.
Yeah.
Right. Now, did you pronounce Hauschka's name wrong like for a long time? And did he have to like correct you? And can you spell it?
I can. It's Hauschka.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it.
Nailed it.
I'm a good wife.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I don't think I ever pronounced it because I don't think I even really, you know, I didn't.
Yeah, didn't
pay
care.
I didn't pay enough attention. And then when I met him, I was like, oh, his name's Hauschka. Got it. Okay.
It would have been so great if you would have surprised John with like a jersey, but you got the Hauschka one and you're like, oh, shit, my bad. I'm so sorry. They didn't have it available on the site. That would have been great.
They have, for some reason, they look nothing alike, but people confuse them still. Like people will be like, Steve to John. And that's a different person in a different position and I don't look anything like him.
Well, congratulations. And all that. Very cool story.
Thanks.
And thanks for sharing that. And that's a fun, that's got to be a cool thing. So is it awesome being married? Like, do you like it? Do you feel like it's influenced your comedy now? Do you talking about it a bunch more when you're out on stage and all those other comedians that have been talking about being married for a long time? Are you finally like, oh yeah, I get it now. Like every joke's funnier.
Right. Yeah. I mean, It doesn't feel that different to me. Okay. To be married. I mean, it's like I sometimes have to go like, oh, I said my husband. That's weird. You know?
Yeah, that's weird.
Especially since I'm 41 and this is my first marriage. So it's like I waited, you know, so it's not, I don't know. It just seems like it's an adjustment when you've sort of gone your whole life without ever saying that, I guess, you know.
Right.
But yeah. And I think that's the best part about it for material wise is more like that aspect of it for me, having a wedding and everyone sort of telling you to like to throw the bouquet and to do this. And you're like, I don't fucking have anyone to throw it to. They're all married. So I'm 40.
I'm glad you said married, not dead. That would have been real weird.
Yeah, no, that would have been sad. Yeah.
This would have gotten, I would have been like, oh man, I forgot the balloons. I needed to bring candy. I don't know.
Yeah. So I like that aspect of it is sort of, that's kind of more of my, I guess, my angle on talking about marriage and stuff right now, just because I'm sort of adjusting to it.
And it's new.
Yeah.
This is fresh.
Yeah, it's
but
new.
Months old.
Yeah, just a few months old, and we don't even live together all the time. So
yeah. So is that being a comedian, and were you a road warrior in the early days, like pre-Chelsea and stuff? And when you decided, hey, I want to do comedy, were you like, did you want to be a gunslinger out on the road, or did you want to kind of find a way to work behind the scenes, or
a little bit of both? I'd gone out a bunch and like opened for people, but I wasn't headlining yet, and I wasn't getting those gigs, So it took that exposure from that show for me to be able to get booked seriously as my, as a headliner. Cause otherwise it was like, yeah, she opened, she was great, but no one's going to throw you an hour.
I know that I know that feeling as an opening band. You're like, just played to 20,000.
Yeah.
And four people bought albums. Great. Right. Thanks everybody. Those were fake cheers. Yeah.
So it definitely took that to get to where I was out. And then, so then I was really building it. So then I really had to be, I just wanted to go on the road as much as possible.
Sure.
But it was tricky because, you had a full-time job and obviously they want you to be there. So we sort of had to, all the writers, because all of us were doing that, going on the road. So we all sort of had to coordinate it. Like, okay, don't all be gone the same weekend,
Right, right.
Not, you're only going to miss Friday, and we didn't even shoot a show, but still it was, they wanted you to be there to do.
Well, talk about the writers for that show if you could, because there's a plethora of names, obviously, that were involved. And people only saw what was in front of the camera most of the time until you guys decided to take it behind camera a little bit. But a lot of people, we know everyone who's appeared on it, but who are some of the writers that kind of were great or work behind the scenes that don't get enough love, you think? And obviously a lot of comedians involved, right?
Yeah, like Jen Kirkman, who's great, and she's doing really well. Chris Frangiola was always he had like the best one-liners, and that those were the things that would like fly out of Chelsea's mouth, like really, a one-liner like zinging someone. And he was great with those. I give him a lot of credit for those. And he's on the road a lot too now. And then I think one of the biggest names that like has been doing different things out of it is Fortune Feimster.
Oh yeah.
Cause she really,
she's making a name for herself.
She's
blown up.
Love it. She's doing a lot of, a lot of acting work, and she's gotten a lot cause she's just so lovable and she's just so funny. And she was such a joy to work with because she was just always in a good mood. And certainly, as comedians can be pretty fucking grouchy. So, and a writer's room can be grouchy and it can be like people all, clamoring to get the, their joke in or whatever, right. Which I was never good at. I'd just sit back and let everyone scream and then I'd go write mine and, then they'd get on the show. So you're like, it's
silent
fine.
But there's, deadly, right? Silent but deadly. Yeah, it's a good method.
They're still getting in there, but I was just never good at screaming over everyone else, especially at 9 a.m. I'm like, why are we yelling?
Well, first of all, why are we here at 9 a.m?
Yeah.
Who agreed to this?
Yeah. Why are we? We're supposed to be comedians. And like Heather McDonald, it's funny. She took a turn where she's now doing this big podcast herself.
Yeah,
and that's doing great for her on the road. It's like really, packing in shows and stuff. So everyone's sort of taken their own route, which is cool.
But what
see.
A great magical breeding ground. I mean, everybody involved on doing stuff now, Josh Wolf, TJ Miller.
Yeah, TJ, there's all these.
Anybody who's ever appeared on the show, I feel like, has gone on.
Yeah, Joe Coy, and I think
it's great.
What it was about that show is just that there all these comedians with a lot of talent, and Chelsea knew a lot of them, obviously. And then a lot she met through doing her show. And, you know, the guy that booked the comedians, Michael Cox, I give him so much credit because he was always and still is. He does it for Fallon now. And he's always... He goes to a comedy club probably 5 nights a week. That's I would kill myself, but he loves it, you know, and because he's always really act. He's the one of those people that's actually trying to bring voices out, you know, and so
very commendable. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to have that opportunity, that was just the first time there was a show like that where there was three comics a night sitting next to the host.
Right.
Getting exposure.
That's a lot of booking
action. Lonnie Love, you know, like
that's
just
right.
So it's like all these, that's why I think, you know, obviously that's a tribute to Chelsea having the show. But the people themselves are so talented. They were finally getting a place to do it, you know? And if you got on that show, you knew that like, hey, do a good job because she'll have me back.
Right. She'll have you back. When you go out on the road, your numbers are going to be bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, exposure's fantastic.
Yeah, like, for sure.
All benefits.
I mean, I was bartending when I first got on that show still. I mean, I was doing stuff.
Where was your spot?
Road.
Where were you bartending?
I was at the Formosa Cafe in West Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a cool place. It's been there forever.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was there forever. But my boss, I'm still friends with him. Who's
okay,
the owner.
I was going to say, is everything good?
Yeah.
Did you end amicably?
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It was funny because I was there so long, but like he knew what I did and obviously. And so he was really good about, I got little jobs here and there. Or
right.
I was working on this hidden camera show, Scare Tactics.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it up, but
yeah.
You beat me to the punch.
Yeah. He would like, you know, they'd give me a day's notice and he'd be like, sure, cover your shift.
I don't yeah.
Know, like, you know, he was good about it because I was getting work. Enough to where even sometimes people would be like, oh, I think I've seen you on set, you know.
It's good for business. You got to
yeah,
tell that. You
right?
got to convince the boss. Hey, I'm just saying more people are going to come in. You'll see.
But once I was on Chelsea doing Roundtable quite a bit, then they asked me to become a writer. And,
right.
And
you had a pool of
and I was
again.
Basically just having like, at that point, I was just doing, I think, still one shift a week. Because I was one of those people who never trusted anything. I was like, I'm not going to let go of.
This is going to go away.
Income. Yeah.
It's too good to be true.
So when I told him about the writing job, I said, so I could, you know, I could like still work here on Saturdays or whatever. And he was like, Sarah, you got your full-time writing job. Go. Like, just go.
Respect, by the way. Saturdays.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean.
that is the money night, right?
Yeah. So. I was trying to. And he was like, you're not going to work a full-time job and then come here on the weekends. Like, this is what the point is. This is not your lifetime job. This isn't. I was like, but what if? And he's like, just fucking leave. Like, go. And of course, there's no way I could have done it. I mean, we worked, even though it probably seems like, I know that a lot of people, I mean, you know better than anyone, but like a lot of people who watch the show are like, hey, you guys just like
yeah, just show
go
up.
In at like yeah. 3 and leave. And I'm like, no, we're there like 9 to 6 and, you know.
Every day fighting it out.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
Slugfest.
Some days easier than others or whatever. But it was certainly, you know, it's like saying you got your, whatever, a full-time job at a bank. And then you're like, I think I was all time, you know, also throw in a shift on the weekend.
Right.
No, you know, you just take your job finally. So it took me a while to let go of that because that's like that security of like, that's the only place I knew for sure was always going to be there, I guess.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Now, if I go into said bar, is there a stool with your name on it? Like, is there any
there's
sort
not,
of
but there should
a
be.
Plaque or some acknowledgement? Like,
well, my headshot is up.
Okay.
Which is funny.
That's a start.
It's funny. Yeah.
Now, I got to ask you this question because I've always wondered this, right? How does the headshot thing go down, right? Because I live here in New York, and every diner you go in, there's a million headshots. Like, I'm like, there's no way Mariah Carey came here.
No.
There's just no
or
way.
Or like the dry cleaners. And
right,
you're like,
the dry cleaners, the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Restaurant. And I'm thinking to myself, like, there's just no way. So how does that work? Because your headshots are, do they ask for it? You send it? Do you bring it in framed?
Like, he told me I had to bring one in once I finally like quit and had a, you know, full-time like Hollywood job or whatever.
Right.
He was like, you have to bring one in. But that place is a little bit different because it's been there since like the 30s.
Okay.
It's where they shot that movie, L.A. Confidential.
Oh, sure.
It's this, so.
Oh, you know what? I know this place now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a historic, in Hollywood, you know, place that. Where they used to be across, it used to be the Warner Brothers lot across the street. So it was, I mean, literally Marilyn Monroe hung out there. So it was like all these people. So it has pictures of Lucille Ball, and it's like, and they're all black and white, and it's all these, they have photos, and all those people were there, you know? So it became, it's been a thing there for a long time. Yeah, I'm like on, like, you know, like by the patio.
You're on
or
the
something.
Backside of the Marilyn like, Monroe when they actually have to flip it around.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, Sarah's coming in, flip that over.
No, man, you made it. That's cool. That's gotta
it's
be
funny.
A pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, I resisted it because I was like, that's ridiculous that you want my photo up here. But, you know, he had more like recent people, obviously, like a.
Right.
I don't know, you know, but yeah, I think I'm somewhere by like the back patio, you know, on the way near the exit or
oh,
something.
Oh, no, not where the people go and throw up if they've had too much, right?
Probably that... right about there, yeah.
Oh, well, still very cool, very cool. And what did you like, what did you write to them? Did you write anything on it or you just give them a blank headshot?
I just gave them a blank one, I think. Yeah.
Mark the date of your last shift.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know. Yeah, that was definitely a lot of people came in for that. Yeah. A lot. I'm pretty sure I didn't, like, I'm positive I didn't. Ring up enough drinks, you know, like I was giving drinks away, but he didn't care. He was like, whatever, just get out of here, you know, just have your final bash here.
All right, so you move on from that. You obviously got this nice full-time gig, and even since then, you've got yourself paper cuts. You write a book, you know, and now you're double dipping with the paper cuts. You have a second book.
Yep.
And how many books we got in you?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because so I left the show about a year before it went off the air as a writer, but I was still on it, so no one even noticed. But I mean, I noticed, but I left because I was like, okay, you know. When you are trying to do other stuff, you have to be respectful of the fact that, well, you have a full-time job. So I sort of sat down with them and I was like, look, I kind of want to keep this going, but I don't, you know, I feel like if I'm here, I'm not able to, or if I'm going to be, I can't work on something like at my computer when I'm supposed to be working here. It's not right, you know? So, and Chelsea totally got that. I was on, you know, I was back on the round table the next week after, you know, still like I was there all the time still. So, they got that. And I think, what am I going with this? Oh, so then I decided that's when my book agent said, well, now let's do another book since you have time. Cause I was like, I don't know when I would do it, you know? And then, I wondered, like, what am I going to write about, though? I said, I don't know if I even have enough stories. I just gave you, you know.
Gave you everything. The whole
yeah, basically
caboodle.
Covered it up to, like, that point I had felt. But then I like, looked back, and even though I'm really proud of my first book, it was, you know, it was my first one, and I started thinking about things that I could, like, tonally do different in a second one. And by the time when I sat down and started writing stories, I was like, oh, apparently I have plenty, you know,
right.
And I was never struggling for one. I mean,
that's great.
I ended up writing an entire chapter about having to put my cat down, which is like totally a bummer. But, I kind of wanted, you know, I had just quit my full-time job. I was single still, which I was liking, but nobody seemed on board with that.
So, yeah. Okay.
Nobody believes you when you say you're happy and you're single. They're like, oh, but you're not. And you're like, no, I'm having a great time. It's fine. Like,
so like the people are like, oh, high school ruled, man.
Yeah.
It was the best ever.
Yeah.
I actually did genuinely have fun in high school, but no one ever believes me.
Really?
That's funny. I'm like, it's one big sleepover. It's like all your friends in one place all fucking day.
It's true.
And I could run down the halls and entertain them and be a jackass. And like, what better place to do it?
And there's no consequences really.
Yeah.
In
you
high
could
school.
Piss off authority.
Yeah.
You get to be an idiot. Yeah. Sure.
That's true. That's a good point.
It was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And that's
pretty
similar.
But I know what you're saying about the single thing, because people don't believe that. Yeah.
But the good thing is I found that's what I kind of started more writing it about. Like I didn't want to just write a book about dating because I didn't do that with my first one either. And I don't know. I just was like, I want it to be something to it. And so it kind of started as I was writing it. I was basically like, well, I got to come up with shit because I said I'd write it and I got a book deal. Right. So
right.
I was like, oh, my angle is sort of more like I'm trying to just enjoy my life. But like people keep questioning me at every corner because I'm getting older. So they're like, well, what about this? And what about this? And then you do find yourself like I had to put my cat down and it was, you know, it was like, miserable to have to do that by yourself.
Yeah.
And even though
no
of course,
one to console with.
Yeah.
Not I even mean, your I, cat anymore.
Yeah. No, I know. That's the one thing I always turn to. And I'm like, well, shit. Now he's, you know, and I mean, I had great friends during it and all that stuff. But there's just, you know, it was like, I described it in the book. It was kind of a bummer, but it was like he had, I guess all cats end up basically getting kidney failure when they're older. He was like 16.
That's a long life.
Yeah. And so I had to put, you know, like a fluid in him for a while. But, and so, and there's like this IV thing, and usually it's clearly a two person job, but yeah. I had to like hanging over a hanger. I mean, it was this fucking most pathetic thing.
See, this is when I wish we had the hidden camera show.
Yeah.
So we could videotape you trying to rig some contraption where like, all right, if I just press on this, the marble will roll down the spoon.
I mean, that's what was happening.
This is all going to go down.
Yeah. It was very unpleasant. It didn't have, I mean, it didn't go on for too long, but you know, it had to go on for a little bit. And I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ. So I found stories like that.
Yeah.
Actually making them funny.
And they're endearing too. People can relate to this stuff. You know, it's like
that was
I had two cats growing up, and when they died, it sucked, man. And,
yeah. You know. And I think that was my main thing. What you just said is wanting everyone to be able to relate to it. So I found myself being able to tell these stories, and then super proud of that book now. And then I met my husband now.
Book number three.
While I was writing it. So it ended with me meeting him, which was kind of cool, because then by the time it came out, we were engaged, and people were like, had just finished reading it, and then they were Googling and then like tweeting me and like, hey, are you guys still together? I need to know, and all this stuff. Or if they saw the engagement announcement thing, they were like, oh my God, that's, you know, we're so happy. Like, we didn't want this to happen. You guys have broken up. Like, so that was kind of cool too. But now I don't know. I don't think I know what an angle would be on one right now.
Yeah.
But I'm working with someone else on her book.
Oh, okay. A little ghostwriting action, or it's like a combo pack?
It's a combo, so I'm allowed to say it's Demi Lovato.
Sure.
Yeah, and so I'm working with her. So
that's awesome,
I'm getting
man.
Credit and all that stuff. So
she has a great voice, by the way.
Yeah, she really does.
I don't want to say I'm a closeted fan, because I don't believe in guilty pleasures. If you like something, you just like it.
Yeah.
And the story, and I like Demi Lovato. I think she's great.
Her voice is
it's awesome, man.
It's amazing.
Last album was great.
Yeah, I went to a concert, I'll say, and I was like, I feel like I'm 100 fucking years old going to this thing.
Yeah,
it was like her and Nick Jonas.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had the best time. It was super fun. And I was just, even I'd obviously listened to her voice and seen her, I mean, sure, right, but live, I was just like, holy shit, this girl has pipes.
She's got some pipes.
She really does. Yep. Yeah. And she's really interesting, and she's got
quite
she's
a hell of a story. And,
yeah. So it's been interesting. I haven't done that before. Done this thing where I'm like collaborating with someone and helping them write their voice, you know, so it's been interesting, and hopefully I think it's going to be a really interesting story for people to read, because she definitely has been through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, cool. Thanks for the insight on that. And I got to say, on a personal note, the name of your first book, not that the name of your second book isn't good, but the name of that first book is still one of my all time favorites.
Yeah.
Like, anytime someone comes out with a book, I'm like, all right, as a comedian, like, you either have to come up with a pun, or you have to come up with maybe you want to try to be funny, but Life As I Blow It is just like,
yeah,
it's so perfect.
I know.
It's so good.
I'm proud of it.
Because it embodies everything a comedian is, you know, which is like failure, and you're wanting so bad to be liked, and you know, all of those things, and just, you know, most comedians have the weirdest stories anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Some girl was like, recently too, sort of, she was like, what, I mean, you wrote a whole book about blowjobs?
Yeah, exactly. Idiot.
That's exactly what I did. You fucking idiot. I mean, come on.
I don't know who this person is, right? but idiot.
Yeah, it was an idiot on Twitter or something. And then, yeah, Has Anyone Seen My Pants was, I mean, obviously a very silly title, but much like Life As I Blow It, for me, it embodied like a bunch of different things, where there was a story where I walked out of a hotel room in a non-sexual way at all. I was high, and I,
as you should be,
and I walked to
walk
get
around,
like,
no pants.
I walked out to get like cheese out of this green room that I knew was there.
Yes.
And I looked down and I was like, oh my God, I don't have pants on. I'm 35 years old and I don't have pants
on. Wait, was this I guess you don't say free bone. What do you say as a woman?
Commando?
Yeah, it's commando, I guess, applies.
I had underwear on.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so
right, that's good.
Thank God for that. Thank God for those, you know. They don't cover a lot, though.
My doctor said to let it breathe, everybody. Just grabbing some cheese.
I mean, I don't think anyone saw me, but
yeah,
I feel like I probably
cameras are everywhere.
Someone
these days,
saw. I know. I'm waiting for that video to come out. That'd be great. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
By the way, there's all these stories of things that comedians do. You like back in the day and pranks and all this stuff and things that you just can't get away with anymore because there are cameras. Like it seems like you can still have fun, but you can't have as much fun.
Right.
It seems, right? Because everyone's hypercritical. And like you said, someone's going to just read the cover of your book and be like, what the hell is this a book about? Let's like pay attention.
Yeah.
But no one wants to see past like the big bold, you know, headline or
headline,
whatever it is.
That's
right?
All they read anymore. They don't even read a story.
Yeah. They don't even read a story or whatever. But so do you think it's helped or hurt more, you know, like accessibility, everyone knowing everything about everything.
Yeah.
Or at least access to knowledge and cameras just everywhere. Like, how do you feel about
it?
It's
like double-edged sword. I mean, the accessibility is cool in the ways like show, like last night's a good example. I'm doing shows here in New York and like,
you can say where you're allowed.
At Gotham Comedy Club, yeah.
I used to work there. I used to answer phones.
Oh, you did?
Mr. Mazzilli is the only reason I own a suit.
He's the best.
No, I look good at funerals, man.
He always is.
Thanks,
always,
Chris.
He always looks so sharp. Like even though I saw him last night, and I'm like, look at you in your suit.
212-367-9000 is the phone number.
I think you're right.
I think it is. I'll never forget it. I mean,
someone will try it.
I mean, I worked there when it was still on 22nd Street. And then and then I helped with the move to 23rd Street, and then eventually I went up to Sirius after that. But
yeah,
but the same way, I couldn't give it up. I did Sunday shifts.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so funny. So like, you know that feeling.
I was like, radio, entertainment, this could go away in 5 minutes.
I'm going to have to keep answering phones for you guys. Yeah. you feel me on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that place is great. But sure. Like the accessibility is, you know, after a show, people, you know, will say like, oh, I sent you this or what, I tweeted you this. And you're like, yeah. And they can't believe you remember because they think someone else is sitting there. I'm like, why would someone else sit there and do my Twitter? I mean, I don't have 47 million followers. It's fine. You know? And even if I did, I think it would be weird for a comedian to have someone tweeting for them, you know?
Yeah.
But I reply a lot. Like I take a certain amount of time during the day. Like I'll sit down for 30 minutes and just like do
a
quick thing of replying. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be doing it all day.
Right.
So I just take like a time, like a little lump of time and I do it. So that's cool because it gets people, they want to buy your books. They want to come to your shows. And I like it. Like I like, kind of enjoy knowing that like my fans are kind of cool. The people that come out are kind of cool instead, you know? But there is a little bit, people also think they just can tell you whatever because they know you. They
right.
think they know
they
you.
Think you know.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
Did John try to pull that card? He was like, I watched enough shows. Episode number, you know, 365,
right.
Season 4. 20 minutes in.
He actually, I think it helped because he knew what he was walking into for
right,
sure with
right.
me because he was like, well, I've seen you on the show and on the show.
And he liked you even more after that. That's got to feel good.
You know, as a comedian, you're just playing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't. So I guess that kind of helped in that way. That was good accessibility.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Got
worked
me
out.
Married.
Absolutely. It's in the bag.
Yeah, I don't know. All that stuff. I mean, I feel like everyone, and I'm sure you go through this all the time too, like you have to worry about what you're going to, you know, you overthink what you're going to say sometimes when it shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
Now, some people should overthink what they say because they say terrible fucking things and then they got in trouble for it. But,
right.
You know, I sometimes think like, oh, if I say this, is it going to be offensive, even though it's not coming from an offensive place, but is there some way that this will be turned around on me? Like, you kind of think about that stuff now because people will just like let you read a headline.
Yeah, or spin it however they need to. Fit their agenda, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird. And we're entering a really weird period in comedy where it's going to be a blessing and a curse with the presidential situation,
yeah.
I think. And like, and I've been having this discussion lately with comedians of like, do you think Trump would actually have the balls to like reprimand a comedian? You know what I mean? Like
he would probably try. He
actually
would probably
be like, you know what? I didn't like that joke, so you know what I'm going to do to you? You know what I mean? Like, just some sort of, like, way to stop art, you know?
Right. Luckily, I think we're protected by the Constitution, but...
Yeah.
Who
knows?
Who knows, you know? Yeah, he's a wild card, for sure. Yeah. It's funny because...
And I'm not asking you politically, because
I know.
I actually just... Politics are weirder to me. You know what I mean? It's, like, a fucking weird thing, but from a comedic perspective, you know, it feels like most comedians are on the left, right? And
yeah.
and very few at least announce themselves as
right.
being on the right kind of a thing. And but comedy as a whole, you know, it's just interesting if it could be damaged or not.
I know. And I
that's
think
a scary
too,
thought.
Like last night I realized all three of the people in front of me talked about that not specifically, but talked about Trump, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just right now I just don't yeah. I just don't do it. I don't find it that funny. And also I kind of feel like everyone's like that's all we hear about all day. I mean, I can't
yeah.
every
well, I'm
news
sorry
headline.
I brought it up then.
No, yeah, fuck just you. No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Well, just as a comedian cuz I'm so intrigued
no,
by the perspective of like you said you have to either deal with it or not, like, and you're choosing to not even
yeah.
bother, and that's cool. I think that's great.
Yeah, no, and I don't mean like us talking about it is a different thing than that, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think when people go out to see comedy right now in my it from my angle, I think I don't want to hear about this shit. Like, it's all I hear. It's on the news constantly. They can't. I mean, I think they had talked about the Ohio State thing for like 2 seconds, and
yeah,
then it was back to Trump. Like, it's, you know, it's just like so saturated. So in my mind, I think, what do I want to hear when I go out to a club? Nothing about this. I want to like escape from it for
sure.
an hour or whatever. So I don't really talk about it in that way, but I do I could totally see him giving some sort of, you know, he was like already kind of like going after SNL, right?
Yeah, that's
which has
true.
Been a long-standing show that has always had presidents mocked and
absolutely.
You know,
and
or
some are even a part of it. They'll come in and be like, all right, I'm in on the gag. This,
yeah.
this is fun.
He hosted it, the guy.
Yeah.
Idiot. You know, yeah. Yeah, like you hosted it. You loved it a year ago. So
weirdo.
Yeah, such a weirdo.
And I mean, he's on a like a I fucking won tour right now, which is just so,
it's,
also
it's
kind of
a
weird.
Very bizarre thing.
It's so weird.
I feel like it's really bizarre.
It is. Well, the thing I love about you too is I feel like I could talk to you about anything, right? I could
yeah.
talk to you about sports, I could talk to you about comedy, I could talk to you about writing books, all this stuff. So my first baseball game this past year, I was out in LA.
Okay.
And I took in an Angels Cubs game.
Nice.
And I
that was the series opener.
Yeah,
the season opener.
So
yeah.
it was calendar night at the old. I don't know
at
if
the
you
big
have.
A.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a nickname for it that you'd like to use, but yeah, the Big A
uh-huh.
or the Big Hat. I call it the Big Hat because I get the
people
big,
like to say the Big Hat. Yeah.
And I went there and I'll be honest with you, I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay.
Right? And so this was the most magical year ever in my entire life.
No, congratulations.
So
awesome.
Yeah, 2016 has been like a weird, like super highs and super lows. So, but we went and the Cubs just like lit up the Angels. Like it was amazing.
Yeah.
But I had this calendar and I'm like, oh, you know, am I doing this calendar? What am I doing with this Angels calendar? So I'm looking around and there's, you know, Angel fans are very nice people and I'm, it almost feels like the Midwest in a way.
It's yeah,
like,
it does.
So I was
Orange
going up
County.
To them, right. And I was going up to them and like, oh, hey, you know, I have this calendar. I'm not going to use it. You know, do you have a friend or a family member? And people were walking away from this thing like it was kryptonite. And I was like, it's a fucking calendar. You don't, no one wants this. So are the Angels fans just like, A, not into calendars?
I don't know.
Or
that's very...
giveaway nights? Or like, what's going on?
That's really bizarre.
I had to set it down on a counter, like at one of the concession stands, and hope someone would just be like, hey, is anybody taking this calendar? Because I didn't even want to throw it away. Like, someone worked hard to put this together.
That's
and, like,
really bizarre.
It. You know, I'm not going to put it
were
on
you
eBay.
You had a Cubs shirt, and they just thought you were like...
I did have a Cubs hat on.
I don't know.
Still.
But I'm, yeah, still, it's not as if you were like, hey, we won, so here's the fucking calendar back.
Oh, no, this was like before the game started. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Even more
yeah, it was just like, hey, like I was waiting in line for some, they had like a really cool sandwich there. Maybe it was the Angels did. They had, it was like, or maybe that was Cleveland I went to this year. Someone had a really bizarre sandwich. I had never
I mean, it
even.
Sounds Angels asked
yeah,
to have something terrible.
And then the lady that was making this bizarre sandwich was so angry about working that I was just like, I'm not even going to enjoy the sandwich.
That sounds like
I'm
going to
go get
Stadium.
A different sandwich. But anyway, it was fun and the people were cool. And two guys right in the row right in front of me caught foul balls. The two guys next to each other
oh,
caught
really?
Foul balls. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's
funny.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's a fun yeah. stadium.
It is. It's a great stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's and not like the best. I mean, it's usually like 97,000 degrees when you go and
right.
it's always the sun, you know, in the summer, whatever. It's nice. But yeah, I really, you know, it holds like a little special place for me. So I love it. But
yeah.
I had no idea that they were so scared of calendars.
Yeah,
there.
It was weird. I couldn't give the thing away. I was like, you're not excited about the year, guys?
Usually like, everyone's like so excited about give the free thing.
Couldn't give away the calendar, but
I get very excited about the giveaways for Rally Monkeys.
Yeah. I'm so on board with the Rally Monkey. In fact, I'm jealous that you guys have the Rally Monkey because this thing's adorable. It does backflips. It hangs out, and you can buy one.
You can buy one. And, they give some. They made a cowboy Rally Monkey this year.
Okay.
And I couldn't go to the game, and I had a show in Irvine.
Okay.
And a fan brought me his cowboy Rally Monkey.
So you have the best fans. Huh?
I know. I was like, this is the best person in the world.
Now it's
I have this little, like, what am I going to do with it? Nothing. It's terrible. It's this little, tiny, ugly Rally Monkey thing with a hat, but I love it.
If you get a new pet, or I don't know if you've gotten a new pet, but it turns into a chew toy, and this fan that brought it to you is like, I had one.
Yeah.
And I gave it to her.
I gave it to her. Now it's gone.
Now, does it feel cool to like, you're at that point where you have fans that do things like that. You know, like, you miss out on, like, oh man, I didn't get the NES Classic thing. They all sold out. I don't want to buy one off eBay for $400. And if you complain about it enough, one of your fans are going to step up and take care of your problem, right?
I mean, yeah, maybe not something for $400, but yeah, they'll bring me a Rally Monkey.
That's cool. Have you gotten to see the actual Rally Monkey? Have you been able to meet said monkey?
No, but did he come out when you were there, like on the screen?
No, because the Cubs, like from like the first pitch, I think the first pitch might have been a home run.
I'm trying to remember if I was at that game or not. I don't think so.
It was a night game. I can't remember which one of the series.
I went to the opener. I think I went to the first one.
Okay, I feel like it might have been night two.
Well, the monkey itself, when it comes out on the screen, is one of the funniest things.
It is. It's awesome.
Because they, and I'm sorry you didn't get to experience this, but they put him in with like a movie trailer. So it'll be whatever, like the big movie is coming out that summer usually.
Okay.
They'll show that trailer, and then all of a sudden the Rally Monkey just like is in the movie trailer, and he, you know, he hits the button or whatever and the rocket takes off or whatever the movie, you know, and he ends up in it. And it's always this funniest, most, it's the dumbest thing in the world. And it makes me laugh every time.
But it makes you so happy.
It makes me so happy.
It makes you so happy.
Yeah. I really love the Rally Monkey trailers.
Now, what do the Angels need to do here if we could talk sports just for a hot second? Because you got arguably the best player in baseball, one of the best players in baseball, and he plays for one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, they had a really, it was rough this
what
year.
What happened?
I don't know.
You start the year off, you're like, this lineup's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And then nobody showed up.
Nobody showed up. I think the pitching has obviously been a big problem.
Right.
And I think they have to take care of that. They got to get a couple more bats. I don't know. It's just,
stop signing bad contracts.
Yeah, they've done that a lot. Yeah. So I'm hoping they stop doing that. I think maybe they figured that out finally after Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
Maybe that one really went
Albert
down in
Pujols
flames.
Albert Pujols was rough for a little bit.
Yeah, but he's
resurgence.
Still, yeah, like, he's still doing well. I mean, he's having, especially if like, if you consider it, but he's still like, his batting average and everything was, it's always great. It's good. Like, he's doing well.
You want him on your team.
Yeah. And he's, you know, clutch, as they would say, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that obviously, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, are they going to fire Mike Socha? Is it going to happen? But I don't think so.
Yeah.
But then again, at some point, something happened. I mean, they let go of, the general manager. Jerry DePoto. And then he went to Seattle, and then Seattle started doing really well. And I was like, well, shit.
Seattle a bunch now, so you're going to change allegiances?
No, never. I can't. They try. The fans there try. They're like, we know you like your Angels, but come on over to the Mariners.
Just did.
The good news is during the baseball season, both of us get to see, both John and I get to see, he's a big Mariners. He has season seats.
Sure.
I love going there. They have a beautiful stadium.
That's one of the stadiums I haven't been to yet.
Oh,
I've been to like 30 plus. I got to get there.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so awesome. And it's so much fun. It's just like CenturyLink where the Seahawks play. It's like they're right next to each other.
Oh, cool. So, do they share the same parking lot too?
They don't. No.
Okay. But they're close. Like,
they're close together. And then it's like downtown is just, you can walk, you can just go to bars. Like, you know, in LA, the stadiums are, there's nothing around them. You know, you have to drive, and it's a sad drive.
It's
a
commitment.
It's like there's nothing around to do afterwards.
You head to a loss, you leave a loss.
Yeah, exactly. It's not fun. It's much fun. But Yeah, there it's like there's a whole energy and you can walk and you're downtown. And but the stadium's just really nice, too. Sure. So the good news is they play each other a lot. So during the season, we both, if we're in L.A., he gets to see the Mariners a bit. And then when it turns to the fall and I'm there a lot, we get usually see them play the Angels there.
So do you have bets? You must have some sort of side bets going on. I mean, now this guy's your husband. You got to, you know.
I mean, we should. You'd think we do, but
yeah,
we don't.
Yeah, you got to set that up.
Yeah,
you
know, we're kind of boring that way, I guess.
That's
no
not
bets.
Boring. Some people just don't like to bet. That's probably healthier.
Yeah, probably.
It's probably healthier. I took the... this is the last thing I'll say about a stadium there in Anaheim, is I parked in this... where the StubHub building is.
Yeah.
And I took this weird mythical path underneath a pretty non-safe underpass through like a hidden...
it's
you
where
know,
the Amtrak
garden.
Used to go.
Yeah. There was just some, like, I was like, I guess it's power in numbers. Maybe I'll be safe if I wedge myself in the middle of a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was like dark alley. And then all of a sudden I'm, there it is. There's the stadium.
Yeah. It's a bizarre. What I do is I always take the train. I take the Amtrak and it lets you off right at the stadium, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and then
it's
just a little bit of a walk. It's great. When it's because, I mean, you know, it's that or take. And I mean, obviously you don't live there.
Traffic's
so it's different.
Insane, man. And the hockey playoffs were going on at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like, I had to tell my Uber driver, I was just like, just let me out here.
I'll just figure it out.
I'll rent a helicopter or something.
Yeah, it can be bad. And especially, you know, games are usually at 7:05 on the West Coast. So it's like, how am I going to get to Anaheim? You know, so a train's 40 minutes. You can have a drink on the train.
Sure.
It's nice. It's wonderful. It's got a whole
system.
Some
warm-ups, appetizers, if you will. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, so let's talk about what's going on with you now and in the future of comedy. So you mentioned the Demi Lovato book, but what else is going on? You're on the road now. You're here in New York City performing.
Yeah.
Do you have any other, like more, not concrete, but just some sort of project that you want to...
I'm working on something, but I don't think I'm allowed to really talk about it now. But
it's
like just
fine.
A couple things sort of like developing. I mean, and I'm not trying to make it sound like it's
No. I hate
Steven Spielberg film or something. But I just don't think because there's like a contract.
The J.J. Abrams waiver.
Yeah. Just have to wait.
I'm assuming
for that.
That's a long one. Yeah.
Yeah. a couple of things that I'm developing. I'm working on an idea also off my second book.
Oh, cool.
Which hopefully we can sell as a show, you know. I did that with my first one. It obviously didn't get made, but maybe this one will. That's what I'm hoping for. And then a couple other things that I'm working on too, like that to shoot, like some online stuff. So we'll see how that pans out. And then this book, and then touring. I'm doing shows in Tacoma, and then I'm gonna be in Portland at this theater that I can't think of the name of right now, but that's okay because
I'll put a robot voice
it'll
in.
Be on
Don't
my
worry.
Website.
Yeah, yeah.
On Valentine's Day, which I'm really excited about. We're doing this, like, I'm doing a show, and then I think we're going to do, like, a Q&A with me and John afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Like, a little relationship type thing,
but
a funny one, which will be really cool because Portland is definitely Seahawks land. So the guy who owns the club in Tacoma was like, hey, you guys, like, we should do something in Portland on Valentine's Day, you know, because I haven't performed there in a while and they definitely have a big Seahawks base. So it's kind of like a fun thing to put together. I think that's going to be fun.
Now, is he going to do stand up at any point? Does he have the ability, the potential?
I mean, he's so funny.
He seems like he's Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, they're all funny up there.
Yeah,
you know,
he is really funny. And he does do a lot of like local stuff. And you know, they have him always co-hosting this morning show on Tuesdays when he's off and like does all this stuff. But people always ask me, but I'm like, I would think it would be great if he would just host or something one night, just surprise everyone, you know,
just come out.
But I don't know. I think that's a line he may not want to cross.
I feel like there's I'm forgetting his name. I feel like the punter for the
Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
The Colts. Yeah. He's
doing stand up and stuff, put out a special.
Like
and
he
everything.
Fully pulled out like an hour
Absolutely.
Long. Yeah. He's a funny guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy too. So
funny.
I guess punters
are funny. Of the new Chicago.
Yeah. Right.
This is it's a hotbed of comedy. Everyone's who knew it's really funny. Well, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
Congrats on all the success and much continued success into the future. And when you're back in New York, we'll do this again. Or if I'm out in LA, maybe sneak up to Portland.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Valentine's Day and check out this. I got some questions for him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'll throw him some darts.
Yeah.
but this was great. And have fun at Gotham while you're in town.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Cool. Cheers. All right, we want to thank Sarah for joining us here on the Laugh Button Podcast. She's a sweetheart. Love her. Can't wait till she comes back. And whenever she comes to town, she always rocks Gotham, which is cool. It's my old stomping grounds. And I even remembered the phone number because it's been ingrained in my brain. It was one of my first jobs I ever had when I moved to New York City, and I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget it.
Okay.
Should I say it again? I mean, I said it earlier.
You want me to ask that question?
No, not at all. All
right, then no.
So, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode of the Laugh Button Podcast. Everyone needs to follow us on all the socials at the Laugh Button. Also, subscribe, download, tell your friends about the Laugh Button Podcast. We cracked 100, man. We're past that now.
Past 100 episodes. And actually, funny enough, our 100th episode with Robert Kelly was actually our most popular episode to date.
Very cool.
We just learned that this morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing 100 more of these things so long as you keep listening.
Your fucking friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. And
We
don't want to beg. We just want to let you be aware of a really cool thing. And obviously go to thelaughbutton.com for all the latest news, interviews, reviews, and stories. We have some great stuff up there right now. We just reviewed Mike Kaplan's latest album, which is a music album. 42 songs, Matt. 42 songs.
A lot of music.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. It's very funny, very cool. And a lot of specials have been coming out. And now that it's January, Netflix is going to be having one a week. And in the final week of January, we're actually going to have two. And CISO's got a bunch of new stuff. And there's just comedy flying at us from every angle. And we've got it all covered for you on the Laugh Button. And if you hadn't heard it, that all this stuff came out, well, that's why you go to the Laugh Button. You find out and you're like, holy shit, I wasn't even aware. Tons of new sitcoms, too. The Mick has finally arrived on Fox. And God, It's Always Sunny is back.
It's Season Always Sunny 12. Back. That 13.
It's like nuts how long this show's
been. Okay, we want to talk about a show that hasn't dipped in quality. I really believe Sunny has it. Now, granted, it doesn't have as many episodes as a network television show does.
Right.
Which Sunny has, what, 13?
But the quality's
12,
there, 13, man.
But the quality's there, man.
It's if they have half the episodes per season, you cut how many seasons they've had in half? They're right at 6 or 7.
Yeah, there you go.
So, all right, that's going to do it. You can follow us personally on our socials at I am Kleinschmidt. That's him. I'm at Mark Says Hi. And that's going to do it for this episode.